welcome true believers to the Amazing Average Super Show, which is apparently we just gotta keep on renaming everything the Amazing Average something. But yes, since we could not get together for a proper episode this week, I'm joined again by Dan.
Hello.
And we figured with the premiere of Luke Cage this weekend that we would take this is kind of the halfway mark. There have been 4 comic book shows that have premiered: Gotham, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Lucifer, and Luke Cage. And in the next 2 weeks, there will be 5 more, actually. No, 4 more. iZombie is a mid-season show. So we'll have The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow. So this is the halfway mark. We figured we'll just check in with these shows, see what we thought of the premieres, and probably what we're looking forward to in the future and what we expect from these shows going forward. So let's kick it off with the show that premiered first, Gotham on Fox. What did you think?
Well, we were just talking about the little bit of time. Gotham isn't great about like when things happen, but I thought it was pretty good. It set up the season pretty well. You're going for this monsters theme where a lot of the escaped
Indian Hill
people are running amok, and so Penguin is sort of, I don't know. I wonder if they're going towards the whole, like, Penguin becomes mayor.
I've been curious about that because he's been criticizing this. Like, if, you know, which I guess we can talk about the episodes that aired, episode 1 and 2, where he's galvanizing the town. Like, he's the one who kind of charges this mob to this old mansion that Fish Mooney and some of her Indian Hill residents are held up in. And he's like, he's passionate, and he's getting these people behind him. And I don't want to say this because I am talking way too much about politics recently, but if you've seen the Penguin run for mayor before, he's done it. This is actually a pretty old trope. He did it in the Batman 66 show, and he did it in Batman Returns. It's his campaign, his messaging, his kind of passion is very, very similar to that of Donald Trump's. And I think it's such a topical thing that they might want to try to tackle that with Penguin. And it also helps that, as far as we know, the mayoralship hasn't been filled since the Ogai event went up in flames.
Yeah. I mean, Gotham has never really had great mayors or police commissioners. That, you know, that their track record with that is pretty poor.
Police commissioners aren't so bad. I mean, we've already had 2 of them, I think, and they both,
It's 50%. Well, I mean, okay, so there was not commissioners, but like the captains. There was, I can't remember her name. The woman who was the captain at the beginning of season 1, and she was, like, she became good, but she started out kind of crooked a little bit, and everyone just kind of looked the other way. And it seems like really the only good people are Gordon, Harvey Dent, and I guess the new police captain's pretty up and up, but there's a lot of like inherent corruption in that. But
yeah, and I do wonder how you keep cops in Gotham. Like, we saw again a bunch of police officers were killed during the attack this past week. Like, what type of perks and benefits do they offer that people move to Gotham to actually want to work in this department?
Yeah, that's a really good point. They never, like, yeah, there was that one time that the police station got shot up last season, and there's been, so many police deaths. It's definitely not explained why, people would want to work for Gotham PD. So, I mean, it's interesting the way they're going with Gordon, with, him sort of being this vigilante, basically like Batman, essentially, just kind of cleaning up the streets.
Except, I guess the major difference is like, one, everybody knows he's doing it. Like, everybody knows he's a bounty hunter. And two is that he's doing it for money. So it's not like Batman, who like has no real ties. Like, I mean, we all know he's Bruce Wayne and he's filthy rich. He doesn't need money. But with Gordon, there is a financial incentive attached to it, which is why Fish Mooney becomes this big target for him. It's because Penguin's offering $1 million to for her capture, dead or alive.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I mean, it's definitely more of like a, I wouldn't say Spider-Man, like maybe like a Punisher without killing kind of, you know, he's definitely not doing it for the best reasons. I mean, you know, I think he does, you know, he's still a good guy. He still wants to help. He's in it for the money slightly, but yeah, I just think it's interesting because, you know, the one thing I do love really like about Gotham is it really does play with your expectations of what, you know, if you know the lore of Batman and Gotham in general, like it really does play with your expectations of what's going to happen. Like we know that, or we in theory, Barbara Gordon and Jim Gordon get married and have, you know, Barbara, who becomes Batgirl, but you know that seems so the chances of that seem so low right now because of just
Their relationship and dynamic.
yeah, I mean she's, you know, insane basically, and he's not even a cop, so how does he become commissioner? It's just like it's really interesting that they're not really even worrying about, we've talked about this I think, but they're not even worrying about the long term, you know, legacy of Batman.
Well, if I
Should...
get if I can take a moment to get on my high horse, because I've had this discussion. I had this discussion all the time because, as most people know, I'm an avid Gotham fan. I'm a huge Gotham fan. I'm also a huge Batman fan. And for a lot of people, they don't necessarily they can't separate the two, because it's like, Gotham doesn't make any sense. Like you said, Barbara and Jim should be together. Yes, she shouldn't. She doesn't date Jim in the comic. Half of Batman, like Poison, we'll get to Poison Ivy in a second. Poison Ivy's not like 5 years older than Batman. Penguin is like 15 years older than Batman. He's gonna be beating up senior citizens by the time he becomes Batman. But my thought is, my thinking, I guess, is it's divorced from continuity. And even if it was within continuity, which continuity are we picking? Are you gonna go with like the Batman 66 continuity? Are you going with Burton's Batman, which is different than Nolan's Batman, which is different than Batman the Animated Series, which is different than Miller's Batman or Snyder's Batman, or so many, there's so many different versions and takes on Batman and his history just because he's been a popular character for 75 years. So to me, I'm not bothered by the fact that Bruce is much younger than Penguin or Riddler and stuff like that, because ultimately in my head, this show never gets to the point where it becomes a Batman story. I hope it doesn't. I mean, Bruce is still like 12, so like it's not a fair like, oh man, this ruins Batman for me, because it's not leading up to anything. Like if this was a prequel to Nolan's Batman, I would, this would bother me a bit more. If this was a prequel to Burton's Batman, it probably wouldn't have bothered me as much, but it's the same principle. It's like I know where this is going. Where this is like, no, this is whatever. Like Penguin is around, Fish Mooney's a new character, I think Butch is a new character. I heard, I was listening to a friend's podcast and they were complaining about the fact that they killed off Maroni. I'm like, yeah, I mean, Maroni's not a big character, but it's like that's what they did, and we're moving on because we want to play with your expectations. Nobody's safe. Nobody, like we can change things. Like they killed off characters and it's like, oh, we have this magic bullet to bring them back now.
Yeah, and they, you know, you can talk about Ivy, but they basically have this ability now to age people at whatever rate they want. So I was thinking it'd be funny if, like, you know, they had like a adult Bruce running around, but that probably, I doubt they'd do that. But they, you know, they could do that if
They
they wanted
could,
to.
but and in theory, there's nothing to stop them from doing the reverse either. There's no reason for them to examine, like turning Penguin into a teenager, or something like that. I mean, it wouldn't make sense because Penguin is by far my favorite. Like him and Harvey are like the two best characters on the show. Like they embrace the material, they embrace the tone better than anybody else in that cast. So. Yeah, I guess moving on a bit, even though this is going to be really short because I assume neither one of us really watched this. Lucifer?
I honestly haven't seen any of it, even season one, which I do want to fix, but I don't know. Did you watch season one at all?
I watched like the first two episodes, and I watched the first episode of this season. And from what I can gather, it's like you don't really miss much that way. Like I felt like I came in with season two premiere, and I'm like, it just feels like it because it's a very procedural show. Like there isn't a ton of story beats missing. Like I guess he dealt with his dad in the first season, and the second season's dealing with him and his mom. The main character, Lucifer Morningstar, is still really charming. Some of the people around him still seem really dumb. Like he goes around telling his partner he's the devil and she doesn't believe him, even though she's seen him get shot and stabbed and he doesn't get hurt or anything like that. So, I mean, yeah, it's watch it for the just because he's very charming in it, I guess. Okay,
Yeah,
next.
I do want to watch it, but yeah.
I do want to watch it, but and I feel bad because I am usually the champion of this. But like, there's like nothing to draw me to it week to week. Like with Gotham, Gotham's its own show, but it has the Batman hook to it. As we'll get to next time, well, not next time, but with other shows, like, there's a reason to watch Arrow for that because they're all connected. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to a lesser extent because it's connected to the Marvel Cinematic Universe proper. But I guess with that, that's a transition that I shouldn't have butchered. But let's talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting. They're definitely, I've been a huge fan of the show, especially the first season after the Captain America Winter Soldier twist, and then into season two. Season three for me was a little bit of a dip, but still good. Like on the same level as maybe Flash season two, which wasn't as good as Flash season one. But this season they're definitely trying to get people interested. They're going with the Ghost Rider, with the not the Johnny, what is it,
Blaze, I think.
Johnny Blaze. They're going with a different character,
Robbie
who
Reyes.
Robbie Reyes. I've really liked what they've done with that. They assume he's sort of an inhuman just because that's most of what they've dealt with. But he's like, I have the devil inside me. And the effects are actually really good for TV. So, it does seem kind of like a side story, kind of like a stunt. I don't want to call it a stunt, but those comics where it's like Deadpool will just hop in, just kind of to increase, the
Yeah,
amount of people reading it.
get eyes on it, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way, because a lot of what season two and three of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been is about, the Inhumans, and they've actually gone really in depth. They had like Kree warriors last season, like, and they had the whole Ward stuff and him being this 10,000-year-old Inhuman. So it's definitely, they're still kind of around that topic, but it's more about like the new leadership at S.H.I.E.L.D. and how they're trying to reintroduce S.H.I.E.L.D. to the public, which is interesting. Kind of, I'm not, it, it, there's not a ton of movies before Infinity War that would really
Well,
relate to
okay.
S.H.I.E.L.D., so.
This is a minor thing, a minor nitpick, and I understand. I mean, at this point, I think you accept. Not everybody does accept that the movies and the TV shows are divorced from each other, in a sense that like what happens in the TV show doesn't really affect the movies. So, but what I don't get is like even with S.H.I.E.L.D., it's part of the plot line for the season, but even with S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of going public again, I still find it weird that none of the Avengers know that Coulson's alive.
That is weird. I mean, they should have. I mean, they should have done something in Civil War. Or I don't know where they would have put it, but like, just even some. He didn't even have to be in the movie. Just like Natasha Romanoff being like, "Yeah, he's not dead," or I don't know, something like that. Like, it does feel like a one-way funnel where, like things that happen in the movies affect the TV shows. But things that happen in the TV shows can't go back up the
Yeah, they don't go back up the ladder.
They don't go back up the ladder,
Yeah,
you
I
know,
mean, again,
the Luke Cage as well.
again, kind of going back to this, like part of the reason that guys on the run at the start of this season is because of the Accords from Civil War.
Right.
I
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily, maybe I misread the movie. I'm not necessarily sure what the Accords do. I thought it was more to rein in the Avengers.
Well, the movie makes it seem that way, but in the if you take it all combined, the chords are almost more about reigning in humans and sort of registering them and being able to track them. And there was even in season one, they were doing that where like a lot of season one was like them trying to, they had a big list of people, not in humans because those hadn't popped up yet, but just like power people that they had to keep track of. So at least within the TV universe, it's almost more about reigning in humans, like kind of like a mutant, you know,
Yeah, mutant registration.
X-Men thing, than it is like reigning in the Avengers.
Yeah, which I get. I got that on the show. I'm like, it was weird though, because it doesn't seem like that was the intent in the movies. But I guess it couldn't be because the movies doesn't reference this show. So
Right.
to a movie-going audience, there are people who exist are the Avengers, even though that's even somewhat not true because you've had people like Doctor Strange be referenced as well.
Yeah. I mean, it is weird because like it wouldn't have been hard to have one line in Civil War where, you know, when they're talking about the things that happened in Sokovia and be like, and there's all these Inhumans running around, you know, like just like that's it. But, you know, like, you know, the government saying like this is too crazy, we have too many power people and we need to rein it in, but like they really really don't want to address anything that happens in the TV show. So I mean, at this point I'm kind of just accepting of it and just sort of, you know, the ratings haven't been very good for the first two episodes and
Which I have to say, I was actually surprised by because, like you said, I thought that the Ghost Rider casting, the Ghost Rider being in there, would have given. One of the problems with the first season was that it was promoted as like this Avengers-like show, but you expected the Avengers to show up from time to time, and when that didn't happen, interest fell off. But they did a good job of like really pushing Ghost Rider coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season, so I thought that there'd be more eyes on the show. And it doesn't seem to have worked. Like even after the first episode, which I would admit I actually did enjoy, like the ratings still like the ratings catered, created afterwards. And I'm like, I was surprised by that. I thought it would stay consistent because I think I mentioned this to you. I felt like if it stayed consistent at 10 p.m., that there would be a shot of it being renewed for a season five.
Yeah.
And right now, that's sick in the psyche, even though it had a decent lift in like the I+3 data. So I'm really kind of curious to see how this plays out over the season, because like, what else do they have? I mean, you can't even like. I guess you can kind of try to stunt cast an Avenger, but at this point, would that be enough? Because we've had Nick Fury show up, we've had Maria Hill show up, like. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of the last straw. I mean, I think Ghost Rider is probably the biggest highest level IP or whatever you want to call it that they would allow to be on the show. You know, they're not going to bring in an Avenger. I think there's a dedicated audience, obviously, for the show. That's just not gonna, you know, at this point, enough people have kind of written the show off, and I'm not expecting a season five, so it's sort of just sort of enjoying while it's still around because, you know, I think a lot of people wrote it off because it had a really, really bad first 15 episodes, which is tough to come back, you know, it's tough to come back from
Well,
that.
I would also say that it was, like I said, it was also because of what they, like, if you watch the original promotional material, they had that Cap Shield, they had Thor's hammer, they had, So the assumption for a lot of people was like, okay, this is going to be about S.H.I.E.L.D., but we're still going to get Avengers action. And like, I think the first episode had a superpower being, and then like for the next like 10 or so episodes, it's just them chasing random like people with no powers. And I think it just fell off because like you can go back to Arrow. Like Arrow, a lot of people would say like the first, roughly like the first half of the first season's not that great, but it built up interest and it sustained that, and it's been consistent. I'm not gonna say Arrow's been a breakout hit. I mean, it's for the CW it is, but overall it's been consistent over its 4 years. Where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's not even that it lost a lot of people during the first season, but it continued to lose people during seasons 2 and 3. And it came back, and it was it was slightly up from the finale of last year. So I thought, okay, there was interest there. And then like the IFPS3 numbers, like people who watched it the same day, and then people who watched it like via Hulu or streaming or whatever afterwards came out, and it had a really big lift. But then this came out, and I'm like, nobody's watching it. So it's like, why? Because again, like I said, the first, and it's what they do, and I'll give Shield credit. I like what they do because they split it up into like basically two seasons. Like they have like one arc in the first half and then they have a second arc in the back half of the season. So this is like there's some backstory, but it's still a pretty standalone story if you came in with just this episode.
Yeah, and I don't think they can stretch Ghost Rider the whole season. I think it's probably maybe 6 or 7 episodes, and then I'm not sure what they have to sort of get people interested.
Well,
So
I think they might go full on. They might go full magic because we'll have Doctor Strange by then, and that would open up magic too. I mean, I think they're kind of opening up magic with Ghost Rider and the that stuff, but.
it's true, yeah, they have definitely hinted at that. There's some talk of, they mentioned the Darkhold, which is a magical, item in Marvel. And that is true. They may try to tie it into Doctor Strange, and I don't know, maybe get a minor character from that movie. I just don't really see them. It's just not a priority for them. Like I feel like they feel like they've put as much, they gave us Daisy, Quake, Daisy Johnson. They gave us Inhuman stuff, and it's
I was about to
like,
say, I do wonder though how much of that is digging into the weeds. Because, like, how many people are actually familiar with the Inhumans? How many people are familiar with Quake? Like, those aren't, like, A-list. I wouldn't even say they're B-list Marvel characters. So it's like, yeah, like, everybody's like, oh my gosh, Inhumans are on it. And then everybody's like, who are the Inhumans? Like, why should I care? Like,
yeah,
I guess.
I mean, from a Marvel standpoint, they have definitely been pushing Inhumans the last like 2 years.
Yes, but
Some people
you're a wrestling
say,
fan as well. You know that just because you push somebody does not
yeah,
mean that fans are interested in said parties.
right. And I think, them, basically they haven't canceled it, but they basically canceled the Inhumans movie. They've delayed it to indefinitely. Is indefinite indication that Marvel's like, uh-oh, wait, maybe people don't like Inhumans as much as we thought. So, and there was already pretty much 0% chance that anything from S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., would be in the Inhumans movie. I had hoped, kept some false hope maybe that it would have happened, but
Like I
now
tell,
that it's canceled, it's like,
yeah, not that what I tell people when they originally thought that is like I would eat my hat if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was still on the air in 2018, and that was before the 2 days and then it being removed from the schedule. So like if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. survives, like maybe a season 5 I can see, but if it survives up until like 2018.
I mean, that to be fair though, like the show wouldn't have to be on for Daisy to be have like one line or something,
But
like,
it would be impactful because again, like you're talking to an audience, like who's going to care? It's the
yeah, I mean,
fans of the show, And
How
it
many
was,
people watch it? Like 2 million, maybe?
I
You know,
mean,
that.
yeah, it gets, I mean, and to be fair, because, you know, like, when you think of movies, you think of movies globally. Like, we think of ratings, we mostly think of America because that's all we get. So it might be watched by more people overseas and different countries. But yeah, for us, it's about maybe, I think, 3.5 million people a week. And maybe close to, like, I think the numbers are like 5.5 for delayed viewing this for the premiere. So, okay.
Yeah, which isn't, you know, we don't get Netflix numbers, but that's probably,
On par with Luke Cage.
yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's tough because ABC is a flagship network that, you know, it has different expectations than the CW or Netflix, which makes it tough, and which is why it probably won't, you know, last. And they have so many different things they're focusing on. It's like, they have all these movies, and they're doing like a Runaways show, and they're doing Cloak and Dagger show, and they're doing like this Squirrel Girl show. They're at least rumors about. It's like they don't have, you know, they're ready to move on. So, you know, I think they're kind of, you know, the writers are trying to do the best they can with sort of this
Yeah, and if, I mean, if the good
basically
thing
sinking
is,
ship.
if you know this is your last rodeo, you go out with a bang, and it's a comic book show, so even if you go out with a bang, you can always find something bigger to be up next year. But transitioning to that, the other end, the more successful end, I guess, of Marvel TV, like I said, the premiere of Luke Cage this weekend. But before we get there, I am curious, because, you know, we mentioned why, like, Avengers wouldn't show up, but I still don't know, like, the TV shows don't talk to each other. And I get
Right.
that to a certain extent. But I don't understand why. Like, I mean, as far as I know, there was a passing reference to Daredevil in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think that's been it. Like, there's been nothing on Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I think yeah, in Daredevil, the orphanage he was at was the same one Sky was at. So, you know, that's like the only thing. I mean, it's crazy. Like,
There's also the his dad. I think his dad was a boxer, and I think it was a character or something in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like one of those, like, psych. I forget what it was, but yeah.
maybe, yeah. But it's, you know, for all they talk about this connected universe, you know, the CW just does it so much better. Like, you know, and it's easier for them. They're not worrying about movies and stuff. But even between Netflix, unless there's some like contractual reason, it's pretty dumb that there's no crossover between the Netflix and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because conceivably they're both TV, quote unquote. They're conceivably produced by the same people. It's like there's no reason not to, unless it, you know, they are different tone. Like tonally, they're different.
Oh, but I mean, I don't even mean,
But
like, yeah, you can, okay, like, for example, you can have them go to New York for an episode to investigate Luke Cage because they hear about this guy, you know, who's tearing up Harlem. Like, is he an inhuman? You know, that was part of the subplot of season 3. And it's, you know, it's very difficult to say, like, oh, they're not aware of it because, like, we know, like, Jessica Jones and Daredevil and all those people are all over the news.
right.
But
Yeah, it's definitely weird. And it's sort of, you kind of just have to accept it as like there's the Netflix universe, there's the movies, and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s kind of like on its own.
Okay, so just the kind of, you know, with Netflix, all the shows are out there. I think for the intent of this, and so we don't spoil anything, we're only talking about the first episode. Partially because Dan has already seen the first episode. I have seen the entire series already, so I won't spoil that. I will
Well,
say
I'd
that,
like to hear like your general thoughts of it.
yeah, as I was going to say, generally speaking, I think it's, and I think I use this term for Daredevil Season 2, it's consistent. I felt like there was no period of time where I'm just like, this is dragging or this is going on too long. But I do think that the show never thrives to be anything more than it is. I feel like it never kind of it kind of starts at a good level and it stays there. It never peaks, so it never goes high. It never goes low. So it just by the end, I'm like, okay, this is a good show, and that's it. Like, there's nothing like, oh man, you need to see this. This was awesome. And you know, I had this complaint with Jessica Jones to an extent, and I understand why, because it's such a gulf in power. The fight choreography, I think, was just the Daredevil set the bar so high that these two show has just set me down, because it's super strong people, so there's no real choreography. It's them chucking people, or it's them walking through walls. It's not, you know, there's nothing exciting about that. So yeah, there's that. So yeah, like I said, good show. I think if I had to rate it, I'd probably say a good 7, 7.5.
Yeah, I'm interested with Iron Fist, which is the fourth component of this Netflix. Although I guess, are they doing a Punisher series? Have they announced that?
They are doing a Punisher series, but I don't believe that's before Defenders. So that will be during the,
Okay.
like, I guess if we're gonna use the Marvel terminology, that would be during Phase 2.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like Iron Fist is martial arts, so I mean, if the choreography is more Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, and I've only seen the first episode, but yeah, I agree with you, the fight choreography is not
Well, see, I see.
amazing.
I mean, I again going setting myself up for expectations. I expect good things from Iron Fist, because not only is it the martial arts, but it's also mystical. So there is an element of superpowers there, which means that you should be able to go a lot more crazy than you do with Daredevil. And if it's anything like Daredevil, which they introduce, you know, what they introduce in Daredevil season 2, there are enemies of his equal stature, where with Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, most of their enemies are normal humans. So it's there's no real comparability between their power sets.
Yeah, and I think, and this is only from the first episode, so I have no idea, but the interesting part about Luke Cage and Jessica Jones is really how they interact with each other. And I know what they're going for. Like, clearly, the creators are going for this slice of life. They're superheroes, but they're normal people. And they're just trying to live their lives. Like that's what they're going for. And I think they do that pretty well, but that's not really what people are expecting to see, I guess. Maybe there would be an audience that like really enjoys that. And I think there's comics that you've mentioned that like with some of the comics in Rebirth lately have been more like slice of life stuff. And I think that's more of like modern. It's more of an adult story than like guys punching each other and like cool superpowers and laser beams. But it's pretty difficult to pull off. So for that fact, and I'm mostly talking about Jessica Jones because I've only seen one episode of Luke Cage, but from the one episode of Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, they do a pretty good job of just sort of, it doesn't, really have to be about, it's not really about superheroes. It's just about people living their lives in New York.
But here is the rub, and this is the same thing that happened with Jessica Jones, and Daredevil prevented it because Daredevil was actively trying to be a vigilante. Is that you go through the slice of life, something happens, they get called into action, and then that slice of life stuff takes a back seat, and then they start, you know, fighting people, and that's when it becomes an issue. Like Luke Cage, the first episode, you know, it's unapologetically black. It takes place in Harlem. They hang out in a barber shop. You know, I forget if it's the first or second episode. The cop plays basketball with some of the local teenagers. The you know, the congresswoman knows everybody in the area. They have barbecues and stuff like that. It's that stuff I really enjoyed. Later on, a lot of that stuff disappears because it starts to be Luke Cage versus the evil forces. And I don't think I'm going to ruin too much when I say it's evil businessmen, because it's been evil businessmen in Daredevil, and to a lesser extent, Jessica Jones, even though that guy had mind control powers. And I will say this much, again, without spoiling too much. I mean, I think by the end of the first episode, you know the main antagonist. And it's a very interesting kind of Lex Luthor Superman dynamic that I thought was fun and fresh, because it's like Luke Cage doesn't hide his identity. He's Luke Cage. And his enemy knows who he is. So it's like he spends a good deal of the series trying to find out his weakness and how to exploit it. And it's kind of like Exo with Kryptonite, except it's a more personal because it's two people who have a history together. And you realize that you're inferior to them, but how do you bring them down to your level? And what happens when that obsession drives you too much?
And that sounds really interesting. Like, I've heard that the Cottonmouth, which is the main bad guy, who's played by, I can't remember his name, but he's in, House of Cards. He's been in the 4400. He's been in a lot of different things. And he's really gotten a lot better as an actor. Like, he's, of what I've seen, he's really, really good in Luke Cage.
Oh yeah,
And I've seen some commentary that Luke Cage is best when Luke Cage isn't in the show. Like, the supporting cast is just way better than him.
yeah, because again, it's the straight ace hero, and this is something I understand why, but he also doesn't kill, and I'm not advocating people should kill, but with Batman and Spider-Man to a certain extent, it's he's built into their character. There's never any explanation given as to why he wouldn't kill.
I mean, I think maybe it has something to do with, like, he, Luke, the unique thing about Luke Cage is that he was wrongfully imprisoned, which is how he got his superpower. So it's about a guy who's an ex-con, basically. Like, that is sort of the unique. There's not many superheroes that can say they've been in prison. At least, I mean, there's a few, but I mean, I think that's sort of the old, because his power set's pretty. I mean, he's basically Superman, but he can't fly. Like, he has invulnerability and super strength. Like, the basically the most, like, there's a guy on Shield who has those same powers. So, it's not like his power set is that unique. And same with Jessica Jones, their powers aren't that cool. But it's really about him trying to, like, not be. He wants to just live his life peacefully and basically just. It seems like they're going to this way of, like, it just, life just won't let him, and, like, life has a calling, for him that he needs to live up to.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I'm going to ask you because you have a better idea of this. I've just watched 13 episodes. So it all kind of blurs together to me. So, what did you think of the first episode?
I thought it was a little bit slow. I thought, it was really well acted, really well shot. The music was really good. It's just like all of these Netflix shows are just very well made. Pretty much every Netflix show, not just the Marvel one, just like any show on Netflix is just well made. That doesn't always mean they're entertaining. Like, it could be, some are boring, but they're always going to get a well-made show. The really good cast. I was a little bit, the whole, like, mobster angle, just is a little bit played out to me. And it sounds like it gets more interesting later on, with sort of their dynamic of how they relate to each other. But just the whole, like,
Okay, without spoiling it, it gets better and it gets worse at the same time, because I think in some ways it makes the villains a bit too incompetent at times, where like you don't understand how they make it that far.
right. Yeah, and it's not like he has a big support system, so there's really no reason why the villains, besides, like, stupidity, wouldn't just, I don't know what happens, but, like, kill the pops guy, or his friends. Like, as you said, he's not hiding who he is. Like, he has no defense. Like, he doesn't have a lot of money. He doesn't have a lot of friends. He doesn't. Apparent. So, what the one thing I didn't really understand was that this season takes place after Jessica Jones, right?
It takes place after Jessica Jones, but around the same time as Daredevil season 2.
So, I, for, like, the whole first episode, I thought this was a prequel to Jessica Jones, because I was like, wait, he has the bar, and like he seemed to be a little bit like he's cleaning hair in a barbershop. Like,
yeah, I thought the same thing, because like, especially when he's like, oh, I gotta go to my second job. I'm like, oh, okay, this is when he goes to the bar or something, and Jessica blows it up. It's like, no. And then he makes out with the cop. I'm like, oh, okay, so is this pre or post Jessica Jones? But no, it's definitely after Jessica Jones. They make reference to the relationship on this. It's like I said, it takes place during around the same time as Daredevil season 2, which they make reference to as well.
Right. Yeah, it just seemed a little weird. Just the timing of, again, like the timeline of when things happen.
Because I don't know how far apart Jessica Jones and Daredevil season 2 are. I didn't think they were that far apart. So it's like the time, like I assume if you, there's probably a chart there, somebody probably broken it down to the day or the week that each of these shows take place. But from my understanding, like it doesn't seem to be that far removed from Jessica Jones, but it also does because he's moving on. Like there's no, like Jessica Jones doesn't show up, spoilers, I don't know if that counts or not. And like it's,
that's
like,
kind of disappointing to me, but
well, I was gonna mention that it's because, okay, this is minor spoilers. I don't think it's gonna surprise anybody, but Kira Temple's on this show. She's been on every Marvel Netflix show to date,
right?
And she mentions her lawyer friend, and I'm like, at some point you're gonna have to pay that off. Like, we all know she's talking about Daredevil, but she mentions that in Jessica Jones as well, and Matt never shows up there either.
Yeah, they're. Yeah, clearly Claire is like the
Coulson
of the Netflix series, but
though far more
we saw
badass.
How that turned out. yeah, for sure. And they're clear, you know, it'll be so based on just hearing that, I'm very doubtful that any of those three will show up in Iron Fist, and they'll just sort of like wait for Defenders to have them meet, I guess.
Well I'm kind of curious. I'm kind of curious if they'll show up at the end of Iron Fist. To kind of set up like the Defenders, you know, kind of, or you know, like how Captain America had the teaser of like the Avengers at the end of the movie.
Maybe. I mean, just I would have thought that Jessica Jones would be in Luke Cage. Like the fact that she's not, makes me pretty doubtful that.
Yeah, it is weird. Like I said, it's really strange. And I understand what they're going for. It's so weird, though, that I get that these are ground level characters, and I guess you think of Batman, you think of like these aren't ground level; these are neighborhood devil people. Like he doesn't leave Harlem, Jessica Jones, and you know the devil don't leave Hell Kitchen. It's just so weird that it's like they have like this maybe 20 block radius, which is their area to patrol. And I'm like, it's weird to not think of them as like New York heroes.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely something that's weird. I mean it's something in the comics too, but I mean comics get away with a lot, but how like all the superheroes live in New York
and there's New York is still crap. Like if I was a superhero, I'd move to Kansas or something, cuz if the chances are of New York, you're going to get busted by somebody.
Right. Yeah. I think they wanted to get, you know, I think they wanted to give each creator sort of independence. You know, they didn't want to. There's a lot of talk about how the movies are very similar and how they forced like the interconnectedness on it. And I think they're trying to, not rebel, but like sort of fight against that perception. And so, you know, maybe they asked the creators of, you know, Luke Cage, the writers and directors, like, do you want Jessica Jones in this? Like, would it make sense? And they were like, no, we don't think it makes sense for the story we're trying to tell. And then it's sort of like you have to respect the creators.
Which is fair. I get that. It's strange. Like, she was this important part of his life. And you understand that at the end of the day, Jessica Jones, their relationship is a bit rocky. She did kill his wife. But even that, you know, like, by the end of this season, you wonder some of those things. The other thing that I understand that you need your obligatory Marvel Cinematic Universe reference. I wish they would come up with a name for the New York event other than the incident.
Yeah, that's it's funny. Like, and they shouldn't even mention it. Like, it just makes it more stark, like, why, how they're not, how disconnected they are, that it's like, oh, the incident that happened, it's like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to
Yeah.
include that, but then not include like Jessica Jones or something.
Though I have to say, of the Marvel shows, I think this is the one that's most connected to the movies in how it references things, and not necessarily in like, not like Tony Stark shows up or anything like that, but it does have references to Avengers, it has references to Iron Man, it has references to the characters and stuff like that. The funny thing is, and I could be mistaken, there's not a single reference to the Hulk.
Well, I mean, I don't know, but like in the first episode, the guy on the street's like, talking about the incident, and he's like, oh, the best raw footage, the big green guy.
Oh no,
So,
not that. I
oh, okay.
mean that the
Like,
Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, climax takes place in Harlem.
true.
And there's no reference to that happening. Like, that should have been. Because, like, Avengers takes place in Midtown, it takes place near Times Square.
Right.
Hulk took place in Harlem itself, so you would think that would be a bigger ordeal to them.
That's a really good point.
Is,
They just, yeah.
and it could be that I missed it. But I was surprised by that. Also, what else was I going to say? Is I love the music in this show. This music's really awesome. It has a very different sound and vibe to it. Like, they're going kind of for like 70s jack music, and it sounds great. It also
Yeah,
does.
no, the music's great. As I was saying, like the production's great. Like the actors are really, really good, at least from what I've seen. So it's like it's hard to like be too critical of it because it doesn't have all this interconnected like fan service, which is what it is, like as a TV show, it's a really well done TV show that maybe doesn't have enough action, but they're trying to go for this, trying to tell the story of African American community and sort of like Harlem and sort of, there's sort of an inherent storytelling that they're trying to avoid, I think, with like the whole like, I think they could have gone harder with the gang stuff and the drug dealing and stuff like that, like kind of like the Wire adjacent, but they're trying to tell more of like a said grounded story. And yeah, I'm interested where it ends up, but I think I think really the thing that I'm learning is that the best interconnected shows or whatever is, DC TV, as they call it, or the CW shows. Like, those are the ones that are the most interconnected because they have the least amount of moving parts. Like, they can,
Well, I mean, they
and they're all
have.
filming in the same area,
Yeah,
and
that I was
that.
gonna say they have the most moving parts because it's four different shows, it's four different. But the big advantage is that everything filters up to the same production studios, the same company behind all of them, so it's easy for them to like understand where each show is going to be. Like, near the end of Flash and Arrow, each season like it comes out of sync. You wonder like how where this is taking place, but. Like everybody's kind of on the same page where like you can watch the Flash and it'll drop a reference to what happened on Arrow the week before, and Arrow will drop a reference to what happened on the Flash the time before that. Or, like with Sarah on Legends of Tomorrow when she found out that Arrow was dead, but that was after, much later on because she's time traveling.
Right.
So, and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I recommend Luke Cage. I enjoyed it. I think Daredevil Season 1 is still the height of the Netflix shows for me. And I would probably put this on par with Daredevil Season 2. Jessica Jones is still the weakest one to me. So it's worth checking out. And, I'll look forward to Iron Fist. The good and bad thing about these Marvel shows, I find, not, I guess, more meta commentary, as we'll talk about when we get to the DC shows later on, is that this comes out, it's a big week and everybody's gonna talk about it. They'll talk about it for a few days, and then you just kind of move on, because like it doesn't feel like you, when you think about it, it's been less than a year since Jessica Jones came out. It's Daredevil season two came out this year, and we
Yeah.
don't really talk about them anymore.
Yeah, there's definitely like a less communal aspect because they come out all at once. And I think it really does. I think for a lot of shows, it helps. But for shows that have a lot of these genre shows, I think it does kind of hurt the impact they have on the community because it's sort of just like you know, as we're doing here, like it's like I've seen one episode, you've seen all of them. It's like
Yeah, you can't talk about it the
you,
same, cause
yeah,
like you're.
you have to like, oh, where are you in it? Like it's not like, oh, are you caught up on Game of Thrones? Like, you know,
Yeah,
after three episodes, it's
like you're saying stuff, and I want to comment, but I'm like, is that the first episode, or is that later on in the show? Or like, I
right.
know what happens to certain. I know what happens. I'm like, I can't say anything, because there's no way to not tip my hand.
Right. Yeah, it's harder to talk about than like The Flash and Gotham and these shows that are on once a week. And you know, I told you, like when I saw it was 13 episodes, I was like, oh no. Like there's gonna be three or four episodes that are just like nothing happens and it's just a, because they've had this issue in all the three previous seasons, so Daredevil season one, Daredevil season two, and Jessica Jones, where like the middle three or four episodes just are filler and could have just been cut out. But they seem to have this like mandate to have 13 episodes.
Yeah,
So maybe it was factual, but yeah.
and like I said, I don't think Luke Cage suffered. Okay, Luke Cage suffers from it, but I don't feel that I felt it as much with Luke Cage. Where like I could see where they could have exercised this plot to make it more streamlined, but like it never got to the point where like we were gonna make everybody stupid for a period of time so that we can stretch this out as much as possible.
Yeah, and I mean that's good to hear. I mean it's definitely not the same kind of thing where it's like, or I'm assuming like where you know at least I think the most egregious one with Jessica Jones where it's like he got away three times and it's like why you know
Yeah, at some point,
there's no need for it.
and then eventually she just ends up killing him. So I'm like, why didn't you do it the first few times? Like, I understand they explained it away. Like, she didn't know what's gonna happen to those people, but you risk it. Okay, so I think that will do it for us this week. Like I said, we'll be back probably not after the. There's still 2 weeks and whatever, and we still have Scott and Dan's actual podcast to come. But we will be back eventually to discuss the premieres of Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow. For now, Gotham, I think, is still worth checking out. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is actually, I think, worth checking out, which is a big thing for me to say. I'm trying not to beat up on the show too
Yeah,
much this year.
it's big coming from you.
And Luke Cage is worth checking out. And unlike the other ones, you can watch all of Luke Cage right now on Netflix. If Netflix is up, apparently it's been having some problems with people with it breaking today. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've had some issues today, but it seems to be okay.
Yeah, so yes, that is it for us this week. We will catch you next time.